We're going to talk about plants. We're going to talk with Honey Neiman. Hello, Honey.
Hi, Phil.
What a funny thing to say.
That's okay.
You must run into that a lot, don't
I'm used to it, very much so.
What is your real name?
My real name is Honey Heather, and my last name, my maiden name was Hind. And so if I can say this on air, I had a friend, one of my best friends, her dad was in the Navy, and he used to call me Sweet Butt. Because my name was Honey Hind.
Oh, dear. It's okay to say that.
I've heard it all.
Uh-huh. And also Karen Seabrook. Hello, Karen.
Hi. How are you, Phil?
I'm very well. So we'll talk with Honey about the, the unfortunately, but maybe not unfortunately, postponed presentation about pruning. And we're going to talk with Karen about something new to me, and that is a seed library here in Jefferson County. And Karen is going to have the distance between herself and the microphone when we get. And the way to do that is to move not just you, but the whole chair, because you will lean back, and then you will be away again.
Thank you.
Well, you know what happened on the in the middle of the early part of February? I know what happened because I read about it. I was in Mexico when it all happened. But one consequence was a presentation of your farm and garden tour was canceled.
Right. I have two things, actually, I came for, Phil. And the first one was to talk a little bit about Keith Decker. He was scheduled to talk February 9th on the Yard and Garden series. And he was going to talk about pruning in the Pacific Northwest. Keith comes to us from Clallam County. He's a master gardener there. He's had 40 years of experience in horticulture. And he's going to talk about tool selection, plant habitats, and places that where if you're pruning a plant, and all of us have this problem sometimes, pruning a plant that maybe you didn't get to last year or you pruned poorly because now it has a bunch of suckers on it, little sprouts everywhere, then he's going to show you how to correct some of those problems. And he'll bring some tools and do that sort of thing. It's Saturday, March 23rd at the Port Townsend Community Center at 10 o'clock, 10 till 12. And if you have a series ticket, that is good to get in because it was canceled previously. If you don't have a series ticket, you can show up at the door at 9:30. And for $12, you can sit and listen to Keith tell you everything you need to know about pruning.
Okay, and is this the right time of year? I realize Keith is the expert, but I know you know a good bit about plants as well.
Right.
Is this a time of year to prune ornamentals and fruit trees?
Well, I have learned from working at the Demo Park down by the Cup Restaurant, I have learned from many of the gardeners there that you can prune at different times of the year. It depends on the plant, the characteristics of the plant, the hardiness of the plant, and that sort of thing. A general rule of thumb is you don't want to prune more than 30% off of the bush or tree. But you don't prune everything in the fall. You don't prune everything in the spring. There's certain plants you could prune in the winter, or there's certain ones that you can do in the fall, which I didn't know. I thought you pruned everything at the same time.
And I thought that in Port Townsend, you didn't need to prune anything.
Well, that depends on, we have our dear friends.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
They come and do the work for you.
They come and do the work free. And, sometimes they might have little suckers coming out the following year, but it got pruned by our dear friends.
So that is next Saturday, not tomorrow, but next
Saturday. No, not tomorrow. Next Saturday, the 23rd of March at the PT Community Center. It starts at 10. So if you don't have a ticket, you might want to come, 9:30, 9:45 to make sure you get in. And Keith, I'm sure he's a wealth of information. I know he couldn't come during the last couple of weeks in February or the beginning of March because he had other places that he was speaking. So he's, really pretty popular throughout Clallam, Jefferson, Kitsap counties. So you're in for a treat.
That's item number one. You didn't tell me there were going to be two items, but now that I know that there are, what is number two?
Well, I just wanted to sneak it in quickly, is that master gardeners in our community, we have something called Jefferson County Master Gardener Foundation. And we raise money, such as Yard and Garden, the plant sale, which will be May 4th, and then we also have the Secret Garden Tour June 15th, where we tour different gardens. And what I wanted to do is let the public know that we raise money, and with some of those funds, we have grants available. And so that grant deadline for that grant is May 1st. So we'd like to let public schools know, or people who are interested in a gardening project that has to do with gardening. It can't be, I want to get my radio fixed, and so, or we're moving. If you could apply for a grant, if you wanted the gardening area up by the new KPTZ area improved, you could apply for that grant, as long as it had something to do with gardening. So in order to do that, people can look online at Jefferson County Master Gardener. And, you know, there's a website, but it's easier just to say, if you Google Jefferson County Master Gardener Foundation, you'll find that, and you just go to resources, and below that is forms, and then click on forms, and then you can click on grants or scholarships.
I have a trailer all loaded up to the rails with horse manure. Do you think that I could get a grant to pay somebody to spread it into my garden? Tomorrow?
I don't know quite about that, but you know, it doesn't hurt. You can always try. And what the committee would do is look at it and go, no, we know Phil's history. We're going to tell him to get rid of this himself.
He's full of it, is what you're going to say, aren't you?
Right.
Well, very well. Thank you, Ms. Neiman.
Yes.
Maybe I will say that somehow. Yeah. Anyway,
you're always going to think of that joke now.
I just wanted to bring my friend Karen.
Wait just a minute. So your parents actually named you Honey?
They did.
Wow. Did you ever talk to them about that?
Yes, and they never gave me an honest answer.
Mm-hmm. It could have been Sourpuss, I guess.
I guess. My sister's names are Susan and Sharon, which are very normal.
Huh.
But I don't know.
They didn't raise bees, did they?
No, that's just the name I've gone by.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will remember that. Obviously, I remember that because you've been here so many times.
Right.
Now, I know Karen Seabrook from, one, she's in my neighborhood.
Yeah, we are neighbors.
Down the hill and around the corner. And I believe you're retired from nursing.
I am retired.
But you were in the dermatology department.
Yeah.
And I had the misfortune of seeing as much of me as there possibly is to see. And my apologies, but that is the business, isn't it?
Yeah, no. No, but you were my first neighbor I ever met, I think. And, we have a great neighborhood there on West Valley, and I am truly retired now. And that's what kind of enabled me to start the seed library. I've kind of always been interested in seeds, and the Master Gardener Foundation grant is actually what I used to get the thing going, and it took about that much money.
Had you done this before somewhere else?
No, I never have. I kind of played around with saving seeds in our vegetable garden in the back, and I was successful, beginner's luck. Didn't know what I was doing at all, but it worked. And I thought, wow, this is kind of easy, so I will... And also, seed libraries have been, no pun intended, sprouting up all over the country and the world in the last 5 years or so. About the first one was in Berkeley, California in about 2012. And then, that was, a few years ago. And now there's over 600 in the world. And 80% of those have been formed in the last 5 years. It's just...
Is there a Johnny Appleseed of seed libraries?
Yeah, there is.
Who is this?
RichmondGrows.org, and it's in it's a California seed library. But also, and they have a newsletter called Cool Beans, and you can get... It's public domain. There's no copyright. So we got our forms off of them. We got all the ideas. We got all the seed packet ideas from them. We didn't have to invent it ourselves. And I talked a lot with Leslie Briggins at the Port Angeles Library, Knowles Groves, North Olympic Library System, and she's great. She was very helpful, and the thing that really gave me the confidence to start it up myself is, number one, I have extra time, and being a nurse, I'm pretty well organized, so I have those skills. The other thing is, Leslie's like, she is not a seed expert. You don't have to be a seed expert to do a seed library. We have Organic Seed Alliance that I'm working really closely with. Tessa Gowan at Seed Dreams and Jay Dean and Steve at Oats Planner are all helping me. There is just a wealth of knowledge here.
So
in
when
Port
I
Townsend.
Think of a library, mm-hmm. I think of a place where I take things away from,
yes.
And then I have to bring them back.
Yes.
Now, it would not seem that would apply to seeds.
Yes, but it does.
It does. Explain to me how this works.
So you borrow your seed, you go through and peruse our, we have 158 varieties of seeds. We, you pick which seeds you want. We say, you know, let's limit you to like 3 packets per season. So that's a total of 9 packets per year. But you borrow your seeds, you grow beautiful, healthy plants, and you let 2 or 3 plants go to seed. And then you bring, save some seed for yourself and bring a handful of seeds back to me for the library. And the seed library lives off the donations from the one before, the season before. We will have a lot of educational offerings, which is what most people are interested in. We're going to have a lot of seed cleaning workshops.
Seed cleaning, you say?
Seed cleaning, mm-hmm. Yes. So we, with each packet of seed packets we hand out to people, we give them a little envelope to remind them to bring back your saved seeds or clean them to the best of your abilities. Some of those seeds are harder to clean, like little lettuce seeds are minuscule. We will help you clean, get all the fluff off, you know, get them down to that little tiny black seed you can barely see. But we have different screens, and you can really clean the seeds just out of kitchen utensils. You don't need any special thing to clean the seeds. But it's fun to do it with a group of people.
Now, why would I want to come to your library when I can go online and tell Johnny's Selected Seeds or Territorial Seeds, the two places I buy from, mm-hmm. Send me some seeds?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons for a seed library. It does keep seeds in the public domain. It's a genuine, it's a human right to save seeds. And with all the market consolidation, a lot of these smaller seed vendors are getting gobbled up and bought up, and we're losing genetic diversity. So it's going to help genetic diversity. It's going to help our community food system and, you know, help generate food resilience, teaching people how to grow their own food and also save their own seeds. And it helps get seeds that are adapted to the local climate. It's going to help combat climate change in that the seeds, you save the best and eat the rest. So you're going to let that big, luscious lettuce plant, you can't eat the lettuce, or the green beans, you can eat, you know, let those green beans go to seed all the way, dry up, and then bring the little seed heads back in, or and bring the pods back in. We'll help you clean them and get them down to the seeds. We'll store them over the winter, and then we'll bring them back. And you know, some of my first patrons to the seed library were, they said this, they just, my heart went out to them. They're like, we can't afford seeds.
Seeds are expensive
seeds
now.
Seeds are $3 plus $4 plus, you know, for a pack.
A little bitty pack, in fact.
Yeah, and that's one variety of one plant.
Mm-hmm. I think my seed order this year was close to $100.
Ours is always $100 or more. So, and the vendors, some different vendors, they can't sell the seeds from last year. So we gathered them up. The Master Gardeners already had a gleaning program for that, because you don't want to throw those seeds away. A lot of them are good for 5 years plus. So
that's actually a good thing to know. I sometimes wonder. I stretch.
Yes.
I'm surprised about this.
Yes.
You must be talking just about heirloom varieties, not hybrids as well.
Not hybrids, exactly. Because hybrids are, artificially pollinated. I mean, the human, you know, man jumps in and does little things, but you want open pollinated, preferably organic, and heirloom. They don't have to be heirloom, but they can be, you know, preferably organic. Open pollinated is the main thing. And you will see on your seed envelope, it will say hybrid somewhere in there, or F1. F1 means family, first family. It'll say somewhere on there. And it will also say genetically modified, but you probably don't find those.
I don't see those, no.
No, you don't. You don't. But that's a question I get a lot. So anything that's not hybrid or F1 is open pollinated. You can save the seeds. So
And you know for sure if someone says that something is heirloom that it really is. You have to take that somewhat on faith.
You do have to take that on faith. There's different definitions of heirloom, but what I heard from Tessa Gowan at Seed Dreams is it goes back 40 years. That seed you're saving has been saved for 40 years plus. Now, Pima County Seed Library in Tucson, Arizona, they are part of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. There's a food food delineation, and it is, they have seeds that go back over 1,000 years. And Tucson, they found out, an archaeological site, dated back, it was a agricultural society that dated back 4,000 years. And they have some great seeds they're saving because their local climate is, you know, desert. You know, they have cactus seeds and they have some chili peppers that are, you know, and they go back. So, but you don't have to have an heirloom to save that seed. It can just be a simple open pollinated.
And indeed, as you say, some plants lend themselves easily to gathering seed,
right.
Peas, beans, because they're great big things.
Right. You know something about it already.
I do already.
Yes, you do.
On the other hand, carrots, lettuce.
Yes.
And good heavens, onions, green onions. Teeny little things.
Yeah, they are teeny. So lettuce is actually an easy seed to save because it doesn't mix with a bunch of other, you know. Carrots, on the other hand, mix with Queen Anne's lace. It's a weed out in the... Now, you can... You know, you
are
can,
they related?
They are. They are in the same species.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure in the same species mean they can mix. And like beets and Swiss chard, they're kind of the same plant.
Mm.
They will mix too. And so you will get a plant that's not. It might be, we call them Frankenstein plants, or you know, squash from Mars or something. But you will get something that's edible. It might not be what you were expecting, but it's okay.
So. Interesting to think. This library, you started it quite recently.
It opened February 1st. It's been about a month now.
It is quite recently. That was like, what, a day after you retired?
Yeah, close. It took me a total of about a year to organize, and that is so I didn't have to rush around and feel stressed out. So it was great. But, you know, there's so much support for this seed library. Organic Seed Alliance jumped on board right away. We're like, we want you here. And then Tessa Gowan and you know, the Oats Planner, all the, and the, there's several other local seed companies that want me here. And it just helps keep seed saving in the public domain. It is, you know, all life starts from a seed. And it's the basis of your food system. And so we're strengthening our foods, our community's food system. And we need to do that because we might not always be able to get seed from Johnny, you know.
Just thinking about this library, which you started, which now is less than 2 months old.
Uh-huh.
But let's think about what you might have. Well, you won't be around for it, but say in 100 years. I'm thinking that the varieties will take a while to adapt. But they will.
They will. Mm-hmm. They will. They take a few seasons. If you really want to kind of cultivate the certain variety, you save the one that's just beautiful and lush in your yard, and you have different microclimates in your own yard. And so you're going to be saving things that are, like Port Townsend's going to have some different varieties than Chimicum will. So it does take a few seasons, but they're resilient. And those, you know, those plants, and if they're raised organically with no, you know, the pesticides slow them back because the plant needs to get its own resistance to the bugs and to the just anything, fungus in the, they need to get their own resistance. So just saving those seeds from the, save the best, eat the rest, you can do it.
Clearly that's the motto. And microclimates, you talked, microclimates, right?
Yep.
Along Van Trojan Road, from my place in the middle down to the end, there's remarkable change in temperature. And between your place and the valley, just down the hill, less than a mile away, and ours up on the ridge,
right.
I bet that we see some differences, not just in temperature, but precipitation as well.
Right, and growing days. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have like probably a week or two less than I do. And then I'm on the forest side of West Valley, and then the West Valley... Cross the road, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot more sun.
And even though it's not pertinent to Jefferson County, we have a cabin, you may know this, in eastern Washington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is true, we do. And it faces north. So we look across to the adjacent ridge facing south. And whereas we have lots of trees, and sometimes we will have more green, especially even into the summer, than you'd expect in eastern Washington. On the opposite side of the valley, it's parched.
You
know, big differences, in other words. So
isn't
know your place.
Huge in one state,
And, you know, we see these maps that have seed zones that are huge areas. not tiny little micro areas, and it's the little areas we get to know, we need to know.
Yes, that you need to know.
This library is, it must be a place too, right?
Yes, it is a place, and it is at the WSU Extension Office, 121 Oak Bay Road. And it's in that little strip mall right across from the QFC in Port Hadlock, right across the street. Kitsap Bank's in that little, and then those three white buildings, and we're the last one to the south. And it's open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2. And like I said, we're starting with hanging out with the Jefferson County Bookmobile every fourth week of the month. So, you know, they go to a different place every day. So it'll be the fourth Monday in Coyle, you know, every month from March through October. May, it's the third because we have Memorial Day in there or something. But every other month of the whole year, it's the fourth week.
So you get to ride the bookmobile?
I don't get to ride in it. I wanted to.
You have to rendezvous with it, huh?
I do. I have to rendezvous with it. But they're carrying the seeds and every, and we have reference books. We have The Seed Garden, written by Michaela Coley and Jared Zistro from Organic Seed Alliance, and that's my main reference. We also have general gardening books, and we're going to have a master gardener at every site to answer questions. We have a website and an email. Our website is... just Google Seed Library WSU and you'll get it. It's actually quite a long one on the WSU.edu extension website. But if you Google Seed Library WSU, it'll come up there first thing.
And when people say Google, I'm now saying DuckDuckGo. Do you know DuckDuckGo?
No. Well, I know that. I know that.
It's
funny.
It's another search engine.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, yes. And they don't share your info.
Oh.
That's why we talk about that.
Oh, how fun.
DuckDuckGo,
I think
not hard
to
remember.
That. Well, I remembered the game because I have a three-year-old grandson, so that's what I thought of the funny.
Nope.
DuckDuckGo, I'll remember that.
Search engine for sure. Well, Karen, thank you for coming, and thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Did you garden?
You're welcome.
You came from California, right?
No, Arizona.
Okay, south, way, way south.
Yeah, and way south. But then we were raising our kids in Vancouver, Washington, so similar, you know, similar climb to here. And to me, coming from, you know, Arizona, this is like so easy to garden here. You guys get rain.
Did you garden in Arizona?
A little, yeah. And my brother is in Phoenix, Arizona, and how they garden, it's like, it's not about not enough water or anything like that. It's like, it's too hot in the summertime. They garden in the wintertime, but they save seeds. I mean, they must, you know, Pima County is great.
Okay. Karen Seabrook, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything to add to the conversation, Ms. Honey?
Right, that's fine.
That's it?
Yeah, well, I have nothing else to add. I can tell you more about Master Gardener programs, but...
I'm not going to let you have time to do that because we don't have time for that.
Oh, all right.
I appreciate your getting in touch with me, though.
Okay.
You know how to do it now.
Sure, I do.
You don't need Candy to act as an intermediary. You can do it all on your own.
Well, I will do it again. I can see a dream of maybe being on once a month or something and saying, hey, this is what we're doing with Master Gardeners.
I'll dream on. I'll have to tell you that typically it would take about 2 months to get on the show.
All right.
You happen to strike it rich today.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. We'll see you
Sounds
again,
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Phil, for having us on.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right,
that was fun.
Bye to both of you.